This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 124. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a show where we focus on everything to do with fantasy and sometimes sci-fi books, too. We cover everything from epic fantasy, urban fantasy. We do swords and sorcery, grimdark fantasy. We have space opera and pure sci-fi. We have everything you can think about in both of those realms. And we bring you the best and brightest authors from those corners of the book world to you here on the show. Kicking off things this week, I am just about finished with my writing of the first draft of Paramedics Amazon, book 8 in the Extreme Medical Services series. It's just about ready for me to go through and start my initial pass at editing. I'm excited to revisit this series. I haven't written any books in this series for over a year now, and I'm excited. Readers are going to enjoy the story I've discovered lurking in the back of my mind. If you haven't read any of these books at all or haven't read them recently, make sure you check out Book 1, Extreme Medical Services. You can find it wherever you purchase your ebooks, and of course there are audiobooks versions available of it as well. You can check out more information about everything I'm up to, including sneak peeks of upcoming covers, special giveaways, and a whole lot more. Just visit my fan group on Facebook, Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers, and you can check that out and also link over at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. But I look forward to hearing from you. I respond to comments on social media. I respond to comments and messages that come in via my contact form on my website. So please take some time, reach out to me, and get in touch. Now let's go ahead and get into this week's interview, and I'm really excited about it. I got Craig A. Price coming on the show. Craig lives on the Alabama Gulf Coast with his beautiful wife and two sons. He's a USA Today best-selling author and works full-time as a pipe planner at a shipyard. He's finished over a dozen novels and has seen a lot of success on Wattpad, where his novel, The Crimson Claymore, has seen over 2.5 million reads and was a featured book for several years. During his free time, he enjoys reading, writing, playing games, listening to jazz and classical music on his record player, and of course, smoking his long-stem pipe. Doesn't that sound like a great fantasy author? Well, we go ahead and get into that. Let's go ahead and check with our interview with Craig as we talk about his Dragonia Empire series. Hi, Craig. Welcome to the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. It's great to have you here on the show.
Thank you, Jamie. It's great to be here. I enjoy listening to a lot of podcasts, and I just wanted to say that I also enjoy your books. I've read the first one. What is that, The Accidental Thief?
Oh, you read Accidental Thief. Cool. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. I actually co-wrote that with my son.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I listened to the first one in audio, and then I'm planning on getting that second one. I've been so, it feels like everything's been busier these days, even though they got me working my day job from home. It just seems like I have less time than I thought I would from working from home.
Oh, yeah, everybody's all jammed up. I mean, it's kind of weird how, life has changed just in a few short months.
Yes, it has, very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. But let's talk about you and your books. We'll slip mine in there, I'm sure, somewhere along the way. But why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you started writing.
Yes, my name is Craig A. Price, Jr. I write fantasy. I've always wanted to write. Actually, I started writing back in the first grade is when I started making stories. My teacher would get this construction paper with like a blank spot on top and a couple of the lines on the bottom where you practice your handwriting on, and she'd fold it all together, staple it, and hand it out to us and said, hey, everybody make a book, draw a picture on top and write a story. And ever since then, I just kept on finding more construction paper and more of that paper, and I just would staple together and just keep on making stories. So this is something that I've always dreamed of doing ever since the first grade. I always knew I wanted to write stories. So my first novel, The Crimson Claymore, I probably spent like 7 years seven or more years just writing it. I ended up getting a lot of success on a website called Wattpad, where they discovered my book. They featured it on the website. So every time you looked up anything in the fantasy category, I was always on top. I was one of the first three books featured on that website. So that was pretty neat, because I had, you know, millions of reads, tens of thousands of votes, over 1,000 comments, and a lot of encouragement and criticism to get my stuff better. And so I worked on getting everything better and pitching to agents. And after enough rejections, I decided to go about it myself and publish that series. And then my most popular series is my Dragonia series, which has dragon riders and wyverns and drakes and all kind of stuff in it. So I mostly do epic fantasy. And then I'm tinkering around some sci-fi now as well.
That's exciting. Interesting. I think you're the first author I had on the show that has done much with Wattpad. So let's talk a little bit about that, because that process is a lot different than an author might go through by just publishing their book and getting it out there beforehand. Wattpad is an opportunity for you to kind of screen your book in front of readers, before it gets published anywhere else.
Yeah, so Wattpad was a really fun experience for me. I got in Wattpad much earlier. Their site has changed many times since then, and their website's very very form based. They have like a lot of forms where different people have different discussions and topics and everything. You find people to kind of make you covers, just so you can slap something up as a cover. And I actually ended up finding one of the administrators who helped run the website, and I was reading her book. And so she checked out my page and started, just reading the beginning of mine. And that's when she reached out to me and said, they're trying this new feature program, and she absolutely loved my book and wanted it to be there. So of course I jumped on that chance. But the great thing about Wattpad, it was just the fact of that instant feedback. So I could post a chapter, and I always at the end of every chapter make a little author's note and encourage people to leave comments. Please, if you see any typos, if you have any suggestions, please let me know. I am willing to work on this. If this is a work in progress, and so it was very engaging. I would get, I think the Crimson Claymore, my first book on there, had like over 1,300 comments, and it was like 50 chapters. So someone could comment on every single chapter. Most people wouldn't comment on every single chapter, but I get a lot of feedback, and I was able to get a lot of stuff corrected. I got a pretty decent following there, like over 6,000 followers or something, from 2012 to 2013, 14, whenever I was doing a lot of stuff there. But as far as before being published and just trying to test the waters with writing, it was a very fun place to be. Then I was, very interactive in the forums, finding people who wrote similar to me, becoming friends with them, saying, hey, I start reading other people's books and commenting on them, and they come read my book, kind of like a read for read thing, which is, pretty popular there on Wattpad. The problem with Wattpad is the fact that it's mostly amateur authors and very young readers. So you got a lot of middle school, high school crowd there. Which is great, because you're not going to find those people buying your books on Amazon. So you can kind of see how, teens respond to your work, especially if you're writing those kind of genres. But the bad part about that is you got middle schoolers and teenagers on the website. And so once they grow up, they disappear from the website. So those 6,000 followers I got, once I had a big gap between using Wattpad and actually figuring out what self-publishing was and going about and publishing myself, because I was late 2015 when my first book came out, that I couldn't use a lot of my people from Wattpad because they'd all disappeared from the platform to be able to kind of help me get started. But I do recommend it for young authors and trying to try out new ideas and trying to see how it kind of takes with the community. It was a lot of fun being in there. I'm not as big there anymore, posts and stuff.
No, it's great to hear you describe that. I know my daughter, it's funny you say about younger readers. I mean, my daughter used to be addicted to Wattpad, but this was, she's 25 now. So, a few years back, she would just be, glued to her phone reading Wattpad chapters and waiting for the next thing to drop from one of her, favorite authors there. And It was an interesting place for her to discover different work of different things. She's an avid reader, and it was just a place for her to go find books without having to ask us to go buy her some more. And so that's really cool.
Why it's so big for that young readers,
Yeah, that's great. So you had the Crimson Claymore there, but you shifted gears and got Dragonia out there. And it's an interesting, the concept of dragons versus wyverns is very interesting, because, you have these two dragon-like creatures, right? A lot of people don't know what wyverns are and what distinguishes them, but, to have them kind of in competition with each other on two sides of a war, essentially, that's pretty interesting concept.
Yeah, I developed this concept a long time ago before I was before I finished my Crimson Claymore of Kalthoria series. I had this concept of who would win in an aerial combat, an army of dragon riders or an army of wyvern riders. And then I saw how much people just didn't understand what wyverns are. And you watch TV and movies, and you just almost every time they show you a wyvern on screen and they call it a dragon. They have this large dragonoid creature with only two legs and two wings and large, but not massive like a dragon would be. And so I was like, I want to actually be able to write this story and kind of be able to show the differences, the size, the appendages and stuff like that. And so I just have the idea, who would win, dragon riders or wyvern riders? Because the way I kind of compared it in my head was horseback riders against elephant riders. The elephants are going to be a lot stronger, more powerful, but not going to have the maneuverability of the horses. So I used that same concept in my head when I was doing dragon riders against wyvern riders in aerial combat. And then I gave the wyverns a little bit of a bonus by thinking of them like hummingbirds, to where they can actually fly backwards. Hummingbird is the only bird who can fly backwards. So I figured, let me give wyverns the ability to fly backwards as well. That gives them an extra maneuverability against the dragons in aerial combat. And then instead of just the typical dragons that you see in most of your books and TV, all being fire breathing, I wanted to actually expand on that as well. So I have, fire breathing, ice breathing, acid breathing, wind and lightning. So I actually gave those abilities to both dragons and wyverns, based on their color. And I actually put a little bit of science behind it, because I like playing a little bit of science concepts. So I put to where the fire wyvern, for example, has this oil in their uvula that drips down into the mouth. When they blow out their breath, it's so hot that it catches this oil on fire. That's how it creates fire. And so the characters in my book actually start siphoning some of this oil to be able to use in like glass vials and actually use in different ways besides just from the wyverns and dragons themselves.
Awesome. It's really interesting to kind of see how you explore different things with digging into the science of how something might actually work in a living creature. Because that's some of those things that, a lot of authors just kind of gloss over and say, well, it's magic, they put quotes around it, call it magic. And that's how they explain away things. But I like that you've been able to adapt the physiology in such a way that you're able to create creatures that could ostensibly possibly exist. And that's pretty cool. I'm curious about aerial combat aspect of it, because sometimes I think for a lot of writers, me included, sometimes it's hard enough just writing something where it's in two dimensions on ground, right? What extra level of difficulty did it add for you to write something where they were fighting in three dimensions?
It was definitely a challenge. One way that made the Dragonia series a little bit simpler for me is my first series is hard epic fantasy. It's geared toward adults, and it's higher concept. That there's it's more just there's a wizard and a mage, and it's more just like you said, quote magic. And I actually wanted to explore a little bit more, but I also wanted to write the Dragonia series to where my son could read it. You know, when he was 9 or 10 years old when I started writing the series. And all the characters are adult, but I actually wanted to make a simpler concept to where he would be able to pick it up and read, not too much violence and everything in it. But I also wanted to make it really intriguing by adding the additional, reasons behind the magic. And then that's when I decided the aerial combat and they're much shorter reads. So they're like 50 to 60,000 words. So it's not as grand and epic as my first series, but it's a lot more fast paced. So I don't have really huge, large, extensive battles. But as far as doing the stuff in 3D, I had a lot of fun with it because I did a little bit of research on like early aviation, where you have air currents that, were all mapped out by, I can't remember the guy's name now, the early aviators. And they all, they mapped out all those air currents where air goes different directions, and you get in that little current and you get the extra boost. I would use a lot of that for when the dragons and wyverns catch those air currents to be able to kind of quickly get behind or around different creatures without having to, use their wings quite as much, because they get sucked into that air current and just glide with their wings. And then with the different abilities that I gave them, from the acid to fire to ice and wind and everything like that, I ended up putting in like some archers on wind wyverns to where, they release that arrow, and then the wind wyvern just has really powerful lungs and just blows that arrow at super speed against the other dragons and wyvern riders. And I try to think of different ways to do that. In with the wyverns, they're a lot more maneuverable than the dragons, so I have them doing a lot of going around the dragons and maybe trying to shoot their abilities, either the acid or the ice or whatever, like on the joints of the wings themselves, try and get the dragons incapacitated or break off their wings. Or same thing with like the archers. I had a lot of fun doing that, where they would release the arrow and the wind wyvern would try and blow it instead of hitting the dragon or the rider, just to hit the saddle straps. That way the saddle would just fall off. And so it was a lot of fun playing with that. But yeah, it definitely took a whole lot of thinking and, grabbing a couple of toy dragons and, holding up in the air like they're old Star Wars action figures as a kid, and just moving them around and playing with them.
It really helps sometimes to have something like a visual aid. I know that there's some authors that swear by some of these posable art figures that you can get that help you pose a human figure in three dimensions, and they'll do it. Mm-hmm. They'll use it to kind of get a sense of what their character is doing in space and time, and understand the spatial relationships, because everybody's different. Everybody has their strengths and things. I know for me, it's pretty easy for me to picture like fight scenes. I can choreograph them in my head because I have like a film background. So when I write, I tend to see everything happening. But for other people, they're much more verbal and they need that visual cue. So I think it's interesting to see how authors approach things from different directions.
Yeah, I've always been interested in seeing those little mannequin things you're talking about, and always been interested to get some of those and try them out. I did recently get a little app on my iPad or whatever that has like mannequins you can kind of pose. I haven't played with it too much, but it looks kind of neat to be able to move them in different directions and try and get a better picture in your head.
So what about, I know you said you were kind of dabbling and looking at sci-fi too right now, and working on maybe a little bit of something in the space opera genre. What interested you in moving in a different direction, just to kind of see other things, or was there something specific that you wanted to explore there?
Well, I mean, I've always loved science fiction. Actually, I loved science fiction before I ever loved fantasy. I grew up obsessed with Star Wars. I love Star Wars. I've always loved Star Wars. The original trilogy, and I even enjoyed the prequels, everything up until Disney took over, besides The Mandalorian, of course. I've always loved, the space wizard, the Jedi and everything. And I've never been too big into hard sci-fi, but lately I've started getting in more into Star Trek. I've watched every now and then watched an episode of Star Trek growing up, but I never really got big into it. So I started watching more of that. Then the Orville came out, and I started watching that and enjoyed the humor being added in. And I've always loved Douglas Adams' humor sci-fi as well. So I wanted to play with some concepts with sci-fi and adding in humor. And then with sci-fi, you can kind of touch those big, heavy topics, which you can do in fantasy as well, way more so than any other genres. One of the big topics I decided I would touch in sci-fi is the pro-choice and the pro-life debate that's been going on for years now. And basically, I just had an idea, and I talked this over with I have friends on all sides, and I talked this over with people on the far left, women's rights, and then the far right as well. And I just had this concept of, well, what if there is an alternative in the future, if we're in a world where science has progressed so far to where instead of termination, if we had a way to remove the embryo in a similar type of surgery, remove the embryo and place that in an artificial womb. And the reason that we do that in the future is because at this point we'd be exploring space, and we need more people for space. Because right now we're overpopulated in the Earth as it is, but if we were to venture out and explore, we'd need as many people as we could get out there. So I played with the concept of these people that I call the unwanted, and they would be raised in a space academy. They would be, grown in artificial wombs, taken to a space academy. So you have all these people called the unwanted, and they have all these others who are clones. And these people kind of work together and go and explore the galaxy and all these planets. It's kind of the beginnings of, space travel for people from Earth. And so, it's a heavier topic. It's something want to try and make people think a little bit, what if there's a third option? And then that's also why I wanted to put a lot of humor into it. So I have my book is very punny. There's a whole lot of puns, a whole lot of, instead of like Ready Player One 80s nostalgia, more like 90s nostalgia, because that's more of the lines when I grew up. So there's a lot of jokes and kind of song references and movie references and TV show references and stuff like that. And I kind of have it lighthearted, fun. And the captain is he's an unwanted. He was never wanted when he was born. So he was brought into the Space Academy, but the clones are kind of the top hierarchy because they were cloned from the best of the best. So he kind of has a lot to prove to himself and others. And so I just have him in there. I threw in a space mage because, who doesn't need a space mage, which is why it leans more towards space opera. But also, have a fascination with science. And so that's why I've gotten more into Star Trek lately. So it's been a lot of fun playing with, possibilities of concepts as well. So there's a little bit of science in there, space opera. And, of course, you got to have a space mage.
Yeah, it's interesting how you can use your sci-fi and your fantasy storylines to explore some really deep topics in a way that is non-threatening to the reader. And so it lets them explore the ideas that you're presenting in a way that lets them say, well, this isn't Earth, this is somewhere else. This is someone else or whatever. And so it gives them an opportunity to kind of look at those things. And, I've done that with my Extreme Medical Services series, paramedics who treat supernatural creatures. And the idea is that these people that live alongside us and have no health care, so they desperately need someone to provide them this basic service. And so it's just about underserved people that don't get the things that they need in the world for one reason or another. And but it's full of humor, and you're right. I mean, you can do a lot and present things in a non-threatening way that deal with some pretty heavy topics. And I appreciate that. That's sometimes a tough, a tough area to dig into, because you have to kind of tread the path carefully. But done well, it can be really powerful.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. That's why I made it so lighthearted and, kind of a, a what if, and I don't push the topic too much. I just kind of, you know, he's an unwanted. I kind of gloss over what, you know, what being unwanted is and how they used for exploring space and trying to just give an alternative, an extra idea of, you know, something that, you know, may actually be something that can be done if science progresses far enough. And if we could withstand the overpopulation, you know, and I think exploring space would be an area for that. So yeah, it's definitely fun being able to get into those heavier topics in a way that's not threatening, because it's not here on Earth based on this exact time. It's something that, you know, here's a future where this might be able to happen.
So is this your next project that you're working on actively now, or is there something that'll be coming out soon that people can keep an eye out for?
This is the one I'm working on now. So I have book one is done. It's not released yet. The paperback has released because I wanted to take some to a conference I went to a little while ago. But the ebook is still on pre-order, as are books two and three. So I had to finish writing those. I'm almost done with book two, which will be book one is Ghost Probe, and then it's Ghost Surveillance, and then Ghost Dragon, because, you know, dragons, they're going to crash land on a place or crash land on a planet full of dragons. That's going to be a fun one. So that's the plan for this year, is those three books in my sci-fi series. And then I want to actually finish up my Dragonia series. I have three books out for that one right now. And I have five planned. So I'm going to jump on those next. Next year, I have three covers for another series called the Stone Elves of Riot, and that one I'm looking forward to a lot. I've already started plotting it a little bit. I grew up as a gamer, you know. I love like Champions of Norrath, Champions of Return to Arms, stuff like that, back in the old school PlayStation 2. So I wanted to play with the concept of Wood Elves and High Elves, and then I added something called Stone Elves in there, which their concept is whatever stone or gem they're holding onto, their exterior skin can turn into that substance as a defense mechanism. So I got three covers for that one for next year. And so hopefully I'll get those written and out next year. Those are all my next big projects.
That's exciting. Yeah. You know, to have things planned out like that and thinking ahead and, you know, and kind of giving yourself something to look forward to as a writer. I know I do the same thing, and it, you know, it keeps me excited about looking forward to the next project as I finish things up, so I can keep pushing forward. That's great. And you know, it's funny you mentioned stone elves. I thought for a minute you said stoner elves, which of course now leads me in a whole new direction for another idea for a book, maybe.
Right.
So anyway.
Here's your title, Stoner Elves in Space.
Yeah.
So now they're flying spaceship.
Yeah. What do they say? Whoa.
Dude, where's my spaceship?
That's great. You know, you mentioned having books available for a convention, and you know, given how things are so strange right now, you know, who knows when we'll be going to do the next convention to actually meet readers face to face. In lieu of that, what is your preferred platform for people to reach out to you?
You can reach out to me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, and I have a Facebook private group for my readers as well. And then my website, I have a contact form, and you know, join my newsletter, and I will respond to everyone who sends me an email. That's mostly where you can find me. I have a Twitter account. I don't hardly get on there. I think it'll notify me if someone tweets to me, and I'll respond if that happens. But otherwise, I don't get on there too much. But yeah, all my books are up on my website. I've also co-written some books with Angelique Anderson, Dragon's Call series. They're three sisters with these little dragon guides who go out and save their land. That was fun doing a co-author experience, and that's published through Craig Martell. So that was a lot of fun. Other than that, you can check me out on Amazon, my website, and I have five or six audiobooks out on Audible now as well.
Fantastic. Well, I will make sure we have links to your website where people can look everything up and dig into your stories. It's great having you on, Craig, and I wish you luck with your ongoing projects, and hopefully at some point, someday, in a not too distant future, maybe we'll get a chance to run into each other sometime.
Yeah, sounds good. you're still going to Vegas, I'm going to be there. I'll do everything I can to be there.
Fantastic. Well, hopefully we'll see each other at 20 Books Vegas in November this year then.
Sounds like a plan.
That's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focused community. You'll find them on Facebook and, of course, over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also on the website, on each podcast episode post, you'll find links to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile app, whether it's iOS or Android. You can even subscribe by email. Just make sure you do it so you don't miss any of our upcoming episodes. We have some amazing authors coming up, including our next episode with Maxina Storybrooke, and you won't want to miss that one. So let's wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy and Sci-Fi Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I write fun fantasy reads. Don't forget to follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books or my fan group, Jamie Davis's Fun Fantasy Readers, where we talk about all sorts of fantasy books, not just mine. And of course, also my website, jamiedavisbooks.com. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, I'll remind you to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.